It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
From Browning, and down goes Herbert. That is Eckler refusing to go down. This is a tie game. We're going to overtime. Nothing down the field for either offense. It's fourth down. Loose ball, and it belongs to the Chargers. The kick is good, and the Chargers win it in overtime.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Good morning, everybody. The ESPN app, we're on ESPNU. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Click more on the lower right-hand side of the app. Scroll down to listen live. You have us in your pocket live at all times whenever we're on the air. Good morning, guys.
What up, baby? Another dazzling late Monday night football game.
It was a barn burner. Really good. I watched it all the way to the end.
Why are the Broncos always in prime time?
Big, you know, a lot of, he would say yeast after the Russell Wilson trade.
A lot of yeast.
Yeah they signed Russell. That's all I can tell you. I mean, they signed Russell, and TV executives in the league office bought into it, you know, and that's what happened.
Let's ride.
You have to give it to not just the Broncos.
Oh, God.
You got to give it not just to the Broncos, but to the Chargers. Justin Herbert completed 37 of 57. Passes, 238 yards and a pick. 56 attempts without a touchdown pass is an NFL record in a win. Imagine having Justin Herbert as your quarterback. You can't have him throw it 56 times. I said completed 37 of 57, and it says 56 attempts. That should be a record too. But anyway, imagine having Justin Herbert. You have him throw the ball 56 times, and you don't put it in the end zone one time.
So he threw it 57 times. For 238, a pick and no touchdowns.
Missing Keenan Allen. So, listen, we're going to get into it. How big a win is it for Justin Herbert? How bad a loss for Russell Wilson? But I think that the headline is really this year so far, Russell Wilson, and the fact that the Broncos have underperformed expectations, and especially Russell Wilson, given everything they gave up for him and the money they spent, Key, has underperformed expectations. Here he is after the game on the team needing to play better.
The reality is it's just not good. That's not good enough. We got to be better. We got to play sharper. We got to find ways to make plays. Got to find ways to continue to get first downs, touchdowns. It's a good football team out there, but we're just as good, if not better. And we feel like, we got to answer the call. You know, it's adversity is definitely challenging us right now, but. The only way I know through it all is just continue to work hard and continue to believe. I think felt like we should have won that game tonight. We gotta look at the film and see what we can do better.
Pre-recorded message from Russell Wilson. He'll use that for the rest of the season. This Bronco team, as I said at the beginning of the season, there were going to be some challenges because they were just not built for a Russell Wilson situation. When you have a team built, you go acquire Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, you know, like the Patriots, like the Buccaneers did with a Tom Brady. They acquired a guy because the rest of the team around him was pretty damn good. The rest of the team outside of the defensive side of the ball for the Denver Broncos, they're not good with a new head coach that seems like he's lost out there a lot to me as he's calling plays and trying to figure things out. And Russell Wilson's just not seeing it clean. He's just not. I watched him in the first half, obviously. That first quarter, he was 10 for 10. He looked like, okay, he might be cooking here something up. But then the thing started as the game went on, he started to look different. He wasn't seeing it clean. I remember one time on third down, he wound up getting sacked. Guy runs a hook route underneath the ball. And the first thing you're supposed to do, your eyes are supposed to scan from right to left. He never got all the way back to the left. He never got to the middle of the field. He stayed right by the time he even thought about getting to the middle of the field. It was right in front of him. He wound up getting sacked. And I don't know if that's just it's new to him. He's not processing it properly. I have no idea. None at all. But he just, He doesn't look good. I can tell you that.
How many times are we going to see the Broncos lose games because they lack the ability to produce offense? Right? This is the third game this season for this team who is 2-4 where their defense has held their opponent to under 20 points and they have not been able to win. I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett is going to make it throughout the regular season. I don't. Because you're looking
at it. You think his first year he'll get fired before the season ends?
He may get hacked. I mean, I would seriously consider it.
Jay,
because it seems like there's continuity missing. And last night, to me, I feel like I saw a franchise quarterback. Now, Justin Herbert may have had, 57 pass attempts and not scored a touchdown. But in overtime, 3rd and 12, this dude rolled out with pressure coming his way, made a play that put them in position to score a field goal. And I know it's special teams, a blunder by them, right? The punt return that they kind of dropped and they fumbled, put them in position to do so for Denver. But it just feels like this always happens to Denver. And I know they're not down, not having Javonte Murray. I don't know where Melvin Gordon was last night. I don't know how come he didn't get
Keenan Allen's not there. That makes a big difference. Jay, what about what Key said about when you acquire a guy like Russell Wilson, it's when he's going to put you over the top. Whatever you think of Russell Wilson, he's better than what they had. But we had Mark Schlereth on this show tell us, who's watching it very closely in Denver, tell us even Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have put them over the top, right? So what about the fact that they're just not where they thought they were?
So when you think about this for the Chargers, Pro Bowl center is out. Pro Bowl left tackle is out. Top wide receiver is out. And yet Justin Herbert finds a way to win it. So, okay, I mean, look, Russell Wilson has 15 pass completions. How many did Justin Herbert have last night? 37.
Yeah, threw it a million times. But
37!
Well, Russell Wilson's not Justin Herbert.
That's my point! Yeah. That's my point. You at least need somebody to do something, Key, to help your team get over the top.
Yeah, I would say that they defensively in Denver, the thing that they do, Russell Wilson, they should do with Russell Wilson is the same thing you do with every quarterback when you have a top-notch defense. There's a certain plan. You're going to run the ball. All I need my quarterback to do is be 17 to 23, 200 yards, and a touchdown. Run the football. Instead of trying to allow Russell Wilson to throw the ball all over the lot, and he didn't have that many attempts last night, but they never really got the running game going to a point where I always feel like you have to run the ball regardless of the yardage. Attempts are key. You attempt to run the football.
Keep them honest.
You got to keep
chew up the clock.
You got to keep it honest and chew up the clock.
Yeah.
And I don't think Nathaniel Hackett has been able to do that in understanding Russell Wilson's success in Seattle was all predicated on them running the football and that defense playing good. Okay, this whole Russ Cook media fascination built it up as if he was the top notch. He's going to go 35 of 40 for 350 yards. That's just not him. Accept it.
But
just
Keith,
accept it.
I'm not paying my quarterback $250 million.
Well, you misevaluated what you had.
To be Cooper Rush.
No,
I'm not paying you to be Cooper Rush,
what
man.
About
you misevaluated
be,
the situation.
What about to be some version, even if it's a lesser version, of Matt Stafford last year, in the sense that what Key is saying, like, so why spend all those resources on a quarterback? Because if he has better talent than your average guy, and you do what Key says, the 21 of 27, whatever it is, for 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, something like a touchdown, no picks. In the key moments of the game, the more talented quarterback can make that third down play, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about, I agree with that based on what I've seen so far.
I would agree with that, too. But did you see the way Jerry Jeudy and company were looking at him last night on the sideline? It's multiple games now where I've seen teammates side-eyed.
Yeah.
Well, because when you come with a lot, Jay, and you come with a lot and you're doing a lot and everything, people can see that, and sometimes it rubs individuals the wrong way. And he's not playing the best football right now, so they certainly are going to side-eye.
Top recruit Jay Williams, if you come into Duke and you're not doing anything, guess what your teammates are going
to
do?
But so then when I listened to a podcast the other day, Richard Sherman podcast, and he's talking to Marshawn Lynch, right? And Lynch is talking about, if I can't call you directly,
I don't have his
number. I'm not rocking with you, right? Then Richard Sherman's like, you have to go through his manager. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a teammate? Now, this is on a podcast. A teammate like, call me, but let's connect through my manager. Like, there's nobody
I have everyone
ability.
Do. I know
you
that.
Do, but that's what happens with you and me. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, but my manager connects me directly to you on the three-way call. I lied to
him
there.
Sit there, tell me, hold on. Let me see where Jay is at. Jay right there on the couch. Like, come on, man. Seriously, I called
you. Do you have Jay's number yet, Key? I'm still looking
well,
for it.
Well, I don't know what number it is. Let me see. I don't know exactly what number it is.
That's the third cell phone.
Is this your number, Jay?
Be a part of Keyshawn.
Hey,
be a part of Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Rex Ryan says, more quarterback news. Tom Brady doesn't seem all in this season.
Listen to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wellness check on my boy Max Kellerman. Max, the game got a little rain delay yesterday. Yankees-Guardians elimination game for your Yankees. You feeling okay?
We're still alive. I feel great. I could have come in here this morning and it's the season's over. We're still going. No, I'll tell you what. The only thing I really wish is last time I looked at the clock when they still hadn't announced, it was 9:27. Uh-huh. And I'm going, and at a certain point, I'm like, you know what? Okay, it's a football night. I'm not watching baseball tonight. That was it. And they took a little too long to make the call, but it actually might work out in the Yankees' favor. I don't think they're going to start Taillon tonight because now you have Nestor on extra rest. You have, you know, although, like, so hard to say. Maybe it's better to have Nestor in the bullpen and get those high leverage outs because he's better than Taillon, although Taillon's okay. So, like, let's see what happens with the pitching staff and all that. But we live to fight another day. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but if they go with Nestor on rest, when will he be able to pitch again?
In the next series?
You got to factor in that.
What but do or die right now, though, brother.
Yeah, but you may not get him until what day or what game in the next series.
I'll tell you what.
I would think you would want to start him.
In the game two, maybe. But we got Seve, so with Cole and Seve, Nestor can start game three easily. But I like the idea of Nestor out of the pen because I want the dude I trust the most to get those high leverage outs. So, in other words, not a save situation. Save situation's overrated.
It's not a bullpen game.
But if it was Taillon starting, he might have only gone, I don't know how many innings, but he might have been an opener more than a starter, right? Like, in other words, you open the game, but you may not pitch many innings.
Give him two innings.
He can go a little harder and you know, with his best stuff. And
do you think if you guys lose this game, could this be the end of Aaron Boone?
Hey, man, he's a Trojan.
I know.
He's been around. Managers sometimes it turns into just kind of what they call white noise. See, white noise is harmless noise. it can turn into that. It can turn
as
into that after
black
a while,
noise.
Right? I mean, you heard it's white
the man
noise.
Has
it's harmless.
A point.
Yeah. What's that? Oh, that's just white noise. It's fine. It's good. It cancels out everything. but after a while, that could what could happen with a manager and guys kind of tune out.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine though. He'll win. I think the Yankees will win. It's at home, it's do or die. They've got, you know, they've moved this thing back a day. The rain plays a part.
No question. Rest the pitching. They're at home.
Yeah.
They're coming off a win. They have the better team overall, top to bottom.
Oh, I really hope you guys lose.
I really hope
you guys lose. I can't
Nestor,
wait to see
so help me
tomorrow.
God, I'm backing you, man. You better get these outs.
Win. and get closer.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The fact that I've worked weekends for the last 23 years, I do deserve one day off.
I don't think you can go get it at the same level Sundays if that's how you're feeling right now. I don't see where this is the same guy mentally.
I didn't play great, you know, and I feel like the stats look a little better than the game.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to change the way he plays. He has to change the way he leads.
He knows that the urgency is there for them to get up to speed.
I was really disappointed in his comments talking about how Watson and Dobbs, their rookie receivers, weren't prepared. I put that on him.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down and listen live, and you have us live if you have a phone in your pocket. And now we're on ESPN YouTube. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It does feel, guys, like this is the year that all the holy cows, man, people are taking shots. Like Russell Wilson, kind of exposed now in Denver. Aaron Rodgers, people going at him about not practicing with the young receivers before the season, and certainly not having a typical season for Aaron Rodgers so far. Tom Brady. You know when people start taking shots, not me saying the Cliff.
Not me.
But other
not
people.
Me.
What, other people.
Clean it up.
Because, you know, I'm the one who said Cliff years ago. But no one else says, don't take Tom Brady's name in vain. When everyone's like, oh, Tom doesn't look good. Why? He's showing up his offensive lineman. He's not leading the right way. Then you're like, oh, wait, is something changing? No one could talk mad about Tom Brady. Their
Tom
tongues
Brady's
would catch
just
on
about
fire.
Done.
Listen to Rex Ryan saying Tom Brady doesn't seem like he's all in this season.
This guy's been the greatest teammate ever, all right? Sacrificed so much for his team. He's always done that, financially, everything. And yet this, not showing up. When I heard he never showed up to a practice in a meeting during the season,
yeah.
there's no way. Like, are you kidding me? And then for him to sit out, and I get it. He's trying to get the most out of his teammates. But look in the mirror, Tom. Like, are you all in or are you not?
Never heard that one before about Tom Brady.
Yeah, Coach Ryan is coaching. He's coaching right now. I look at Tom Brady and I say it's not that big of a deal that he decided on a Friday.
Keep that graphic up, guys.
To go to his owner's wedding and then join the team on a late Saturday in Pittsburgh.
What do you have to say about the graphic we're showing, though, Key? Look, through six games as a starting quarterback, both Brady and Rodgers have the worst one-loss record, points per game, and total QBR of their careers.
That's okay. It's one. It's six games out of however many hundreds they've played.
And they're that's true. But both of them to start the season are look at that. They rank in the bottom half of the league, except Brady QBR is right in the middle. But otherwise, both of them are in the bottom half of the league in all the
statistical categories. Yeah. That's true. But I'm not gonna all of a sudden attribute to him not being there as a reason that his numbers are like that. You know how many players miss meetings because they have to go do things? How many players miss walkthroughs because they have things to do? It doesn't factor in. I mean, people are looking at it and saying, well, the reason Tom Brady is playing like this is because he went to a wedding. No, they're just not good right now.
Yeah.
They're not good right now. Guys, I'm looking at guys running routes. Guy throws a guy a screen, it pops off his hands in the air. Guess what? That incompletion, he gets charged for. I'm looking at another route that should have been a dig. Looked like the guy was running the skinny post. Brady was throwing an in cut. And so, for whatever reason, they're not on the same page.
Maybe because he's not at practice.
Oh, God, stop.
I'm not a subscriber to Rex Ryan saying that he's not all in. I mean, I think Tom Brady is all in. I think he's dealing with some other things
Absolutely.
As well.
I agree.
Right? But it's not a good look. Currently, the way things are stacking up. But if the question is, who do I have more faith in, it's Tom Brady. First off, because of the division.
You mean between Brady and Rodgers?
Between Brady and Rodgers. The division here, right? I think Minnesota's going to win the NFC North, right? I think that's going to be a challenge for the Packers just because of the receivers coming along. And I also say, because Tom Brady has shown me who he is and the way he leads. You may not like it. I may not be a big subscriber to him yelling at people considering he did miss that day of practice. But there's something about Aaron Rodgers being a little bit more passive-aggressive in that approach that I do not like as it relates to leadership style.
Well, their results throughout their careers, Brady gets more out of a team. He was with Belichick for many years, and then he went to a great Bucs team. But still,
Max, also, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the kind of, like, if Key don't like something about somebody, he'll say it to your face. There's
right.
other styles where it's like, yeah, a little bit passive-aggressive, or I say things, and it's a little bit of a slight, a little bit of a back end.
Well, everybody's different, though.
I know
right?
everybody's different. That's what I'm saying. I like Tom Brady style more than I like Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so Jay is coming out with it. Between Brady and Rodgers, he has more faith that Brady will get it done. He'll get the thing turned around. By the way, Jay, so do I. I think Rodgers will also, but if you're asking me to rank who I have more faith in,
yeah.
it's the guy with the seven rings. Who do you have more faith in, Key, to turn it around if it's a competition between Brady and Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. More faith that he'll turn it around. Tom Brady still got some stuff. That ain't going nowhere no time soon.
You mean stuff that he's dealing with.
He's still got some stuff that he's got to.
No one feels bad for Brady. I feel bad for Brady. I feel bad for him right
now. That's
okay. He's going through it in life right now.
I'm not here again, Max. I get it. I don't care about that part of it.
Yep.
I just know he's going through some stuff. And that stuff isn't going anywhere. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, they can dummy down that offense. Help the coach who's probably got a menu this big with a bunch of unnecessary plays on it that he never gets to. Simplify things so Aaron Rodgers is not thinking. The young nucleus of receivers are not thinking. The young backs are not thinking. The offensive line understands their protections without a bunch of just stuff. That's why I think he'll get it turned around before Brady.
Here's Tom Brady on Let's Go with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray, the podcast, on the Bucs. 500 start through six games. They're 3-3. So the sky is falling for Brady if he's 500 through six games. This is his comments on the start.
We just have not found our rhythm at all on offense. We're not scoring enough points. We're not playing well in the red area. We've been very inconsistent on third down. The game is about points. You know, it's not about yard, time of possession. All those things factor in. But the deciding factor in every game, and this is to point out the complete obvious, is points. Did you score more points than the other team? And in three games we have, another three games we haven't. Even in the three games we won, we haven't played the way we're capable, certainly offensively. So, you know, we've all are kind of licking our wounds, looking at the last 6 weeks and trying to do a lot better, having more communication about things that we think we need to do moving forward. And it's going to be a big challenge. You know, we have a big challenge ahead of us. Things don't magically just solve themselves. You know, things have to become solved. You have to put the right time and emphasis into the things in order to improve them. And we got a lot of work to do.
Well, at least he knows they got a lot of work to do. Like he's saying, it's a big challenge ahead. He recognizes that.
Is it time for Key to put some respect on the Giants' name? Key's real rankings are next. Hold on, who wrote this? Key was the one who had him on the list before everyone was complaining about it. First,
who writes it after you said it?
Because usually the tease is proper, right? So I could just read. It's called a tease in the business, Jay, where you tease what's coming up.
Jay.
I look down. I'm like, wait a minute. Keep putting respect on the name. Jay, who's a Giants fan, and I'm a Giants fan. We're like, they're too high on the list early on. Anyway.
I want top five, Max.
You want top five? Oh, I forgot. Oh, this is what it is, Jay.
Bing, bong.
Shannon, our producer, is also a Giants
fan. Top five.
And he wanted them higher on the list.
We're
all
in
cahoots. Shannon. Got it.
How's your system working out? Did you find a paper yet?
Of course I found the paper. There. Don't be ridiculous.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Key's Real Rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Key, what you got?
Well, let's start off first. Last week, I had 8. Now, this week, I only got 5. Last week, I had the 8, but now I'm paring it down to 5. Baltimore,
You're
Dallas.
You're talking about the best teams in the NFL.
The best teams in the NFL. Baltimore, Dallas, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Philly were part of that 8 from a week ago. But now, we're going to start a whole new list in week 6. The teams that have the ability, as we stand today, to win it all. Yates, take it off.
Number six,
you should be happy, Max. Your team was sitting at 8 last week. The New York Giants, they move up to number 6.
Yay!
Pretty good.
With a 50-1 odds to win it all. They've certainly been playing great football. Daniel Jones looks like he's bought himself a new contract. We'll ask Mike Tannenbaum, our general manager, what he thinks. Saquon Barkley as well. The defense is playing solid with Wink Martindale. They're getting the job done in New York all the way around.
Number five.
Okay, look. Let me explain this to you. The Dallas Cowboys sit at 5. I understand Cooper Rush was the guy for a long period of time. They lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. Cooper Rush couldn't compete. He turned back into the pumpkin. The rotted pumpkin, no question about it. 3 interceptions.
Clock struck midnight.
No glass slippers. The Dallas Cowboys sit at 5, 22-1. I think Dak Prescott gives them a much better chance to win it all when he comes back against the Lions and the Bears.
Number four,
the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs dropped from 2-4 because they lost a really – I could have kept them at 2 and been fine with it. They lost a tough one to the Buffalo Bills. Very easily could have won that game, could have went either way. We all thought this was going to be last year's playoff game. Whoever had the ball last was going to win. Certainly Kansas City felt that way. Patrick Mahomes throws the interception in the end. They are 7-1 odds to win it all.
Number three,
Jay's team, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how.
One of his teams.
My team.
I don't know how real Minnesota is,
yeah.
If they're real or not, but they have a 2-game lead over the Green Bay Packers in the Norris division of the NFC. So let's see what they are. They're 15-1 to win it all. At some point, I feel like Kirk Cousins will eventually turn back into Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Number two.
The Buffalo Bills, Archer Park, Ralph Wilson Stadium, whatever you want to call it, They're getting it done. Bills Mafia, Josh Allen and company, we saw them play against Kansas City. For a guy that's this big, this powerful, this strong, he's out there just cooking in the defense. The acquisition of Von Miller, something that they needed to go get Patrick Mahomes a year ago, certainly has this year from a year ago, certainly has paid off for the Buffalo Bills. They sit at number two with plus 280 to win it all. And then number one, let me hear
number
it.
One.
Pat should be happy. Costello, number one. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. How can you complain about what Jalen Hurts has been able to do both on the ground and in the air? He's getting the football to a multiple of receivers. They're playing defense, solid and sound. Nick Sirianni, everybody laughed at him in his press conference a year ago. But so far, so good. The only thing he's done is taken a team to the playoffs in his first time as a head coach. And now it looks like they're going to have home field advantage as it stands right now throughout the playoffs. And that doesn't mean you're going to get to the Super Bowl. But I'm betting my money on Jalen Hurts to get this $300 million deal next offseason.
$300 million.
He's a pocket Josh Allen.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
$300 million?
Why wouldn't you? You got to pay him. It's the market, baby.
Damn.
It's the market.
You know, Lamar is sitting there going, hold on. Hold up.
Well, Lamar's going to get his money, but then Jalen Hurts will get his money, too.
Everyone's going to get paid.
So everybody's going to get them. You going to pay Justin Herbert?
Yep.
You going to pay Joe Burrow?
Yep.
Or you going to pay this guy, Jalen Hurts?
Absolutely.
They all going to be close to $300.
Yeah, I want to pay Daniel Mike's Jones.
Mike's never done a $1 million deal, so he's like, oh, God.
My mind is blown. I'm sitting here looking at Mike looking for confirmation, and Mike is not saying anything.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Mike is Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, if Deshaun Watson is at 258, and then Lamar's going to come in somewhere above
264.
That. And then the next guy's going to come in somewhere.
Yeah, 275.
But then the next guy's going to come in somewhere.
You would think Lamar would garner higher pay because of being an MVP, because of carrying the load.
Too.
He's been around. Like, the resume feels like it's more conducive to him making more than a guy going off his rookie contract.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, is here. What do you think about Key's real rankings first, Mike?
Well, the one thing that jumps out to me, Key, is who you don't have up here in Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and you have the New York Giants above them. I mean, imagine if the four of us were sitting here in August and actually having a conversation. One team is 5-1, and those two legends look like they're on the back end of things.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers, they couldn't possibly be on this list the way they look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Where the Giants, on the other hand, they actually look like a football team. They actually look like they're being motivated by a coaching staff. They actually look like they have some promise in them. You know how it is. Everything's not going to be star power, right? Guys turn into stars. They're not stars right now. But sitting at 5-1, they're not 5-1 because they're not good. They're 5-1 because they've done everything right.
Mike, I want to dig into an issue I have with this list off the top. And I know that we have multiple Philadelphia Eagle fans here. And I get, when you look at their ability, they win in a variety of different ways. I see their wide receiver
Jay's
core.
Uncle's
I see their
cousin's
defense,
roommate
I see
lives
their,
in Buffalo. Go
I see ahead. Their O-line. I see all of it. But I look at their wins versus the Lions, the Vikings, Commanders, Jags, Cardinals, Cowboys. I get it, even though their defense turned Cooper Rush, as Key said, into a pumpkin. But I look at the wins that the Bills have had at Rams, the Ravens, the Chiefs in the showdown. It just feels like the quality of competition, they've shown me that they can beat the top-tier teams. Now, it doesn't mean the Eagles can't. But that's why I would have the Bills ranked number one as opposed to the Eagles number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, obviously, they would be the two favorites right now. I think what's going to be interesting, though, is, like, who else could step up in the NFC, guys? Because somebody else has to challenge the Eagles, and who's going to be? Right now, it's all question marks. And I was at the game. I did the game for ESPN Radio. I was in Pittsburgh, and Tom Brady, like, really looked old. He didn't convert a sneak. He had time to rush for a first down. He looked old. And Green Bay has a lot more questions than answers. So my question is, like, who's really going to compete with the Eagles this year?
Why not the Giants? They don't have a number one receiver.
Let's make sure you agree with me. So you have the Bills number one? If that's what you're saying to me? Hey, there you go. Okay, great. Great. Moving on. Yes.
Well, those are the two top of the conference.
You know, no, I got two, but Bills number one. That's
you
one
know,
confirmation.
And I know. You are what your records say you are, son.
Yes, sir.
Period.
But Key, let me ask you a question. As a former wide receiver at a very high level, the New York Football Giants are averaging 159 yards in the passing game per game. I don't know how they would beat Alabama or Tennessee.
Wandale's starting to look better. He's a rookie. He is.
He's going to sell it.
Hold on. How about this? But listen to this. Think about it for a second. Daniel Jones looking good. And Daniel Jones is not a rookie or a second-year quarterback. He's actually a veteran quarterback who's now in the right position, right? So to make a playoff run, you'd like a veteran guy. He is a veteran guy, even though he hasn't been in great positions yet, but now he's in a good position. So you have a defense. You have a defensive coordinator who can do it. You have an offensive-minded head coach who knows what he's doing, who's protecting the quarterback. You need a receiver, but you have a great running back. Why couldn't it be the Giants who challenge?
Because their passing game, unless they go out and get, to me, Odell Beckham Jr. or trade for another receiver, they don't make enough plays in the passing game. They deserve a ton of credit. I love Brian Daboll. I'm just saying, like, to really make a meaningful playoff push, if we had a bet today, I would take Minnesota over the Giants just from a standpoint of, like, while I trust Brian Daboll, love what they're doing, just think Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson can make more plays, because that's what this game is about. Like, who can make more explosive plays?
I think they're making more plays because they're asked to make more plays opposed to the Giants. The Giants' philosophy and style right now seems to be running the football, trying to figure out the defensive side, closing things down. And then if they want to push the ball down the field once or twice here or there, they do it. Where Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, that's really all they do. They're going to throw the ball all over the lot. So I think it's more about that. This is what the Giants want to do.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones is outplaying guys in the fourth quarter. He's playing very well late in games.
But, Mike, like watching the Vikings against the Saints, and I said if there's a year for the Vikings to win their division, it was this year, considering what Aaron Rodgers had to go through. But watching them against a depleted Saints team, it doesn't give me the most confidence when I watch the Vikings play, though. It's not like they're running away with games. I mean, they are finding ways to win these games that they lost last year, and that says something, but these games are very close.
But that's the same point we're making about the Giants. The Vikings are 5-1. Like, they're a very quiet 5-1.
Yeah, they're quiet 5-1, just like the Giants.
All right, Mike, we've got into several topics already today we want you to weigh in on. First of all, Rodgers, Brady are having, both of them, the worst seasons of their career through six games. Like, statistically the worst, and I think we'd all agree, yeah, that they've never looked this bad through six games. For different reasons. Who do you have more faith to turn it around in, like Rodgers or Brady?
Well, I would say Tampa Bay, because I really believe in Todd Bowles and that Tampa Bay defense, and I think they have a chance to get healthier because of Julio Jones. And if I'm them, I'm calling up Rob Gronkowski, and I'm saying, look, Rob, the answer is yes, you're coming here, so let's just fill in the blanks. How much money? You're going to practice one day a week. You're playing third down red zone, 25 plays a game, but we need you for the last two-thirds of the season.
They need a red zone target.
Yeah, and their division, to me, is really down. You know, mm-hmm. New Orleans is struggling. Carolina fired their coach. Atlanta's a little bit of a surprise, but they have a pretty low ceiling. So I do like Tampa. But I must say, like, seeing Tom Brady live, he did look old.
Mm. How so?
He you know, he was never a great athlete, but he used to have, like, at least quickness within the pocket. Certainly always converted sneaks. He had a chance to run for a first down. He turned it down. He just didn't look as quick-footed, and he was just a little bit off on some of his throws. Like, they were lower than usual, so his accuracy wasn't the same.
So Rex Ryan, I don't know if you're familiar with his work, Mike.
A world-class bloviator.
ESPN NFL analyst on Get Up said the following about Tom Brady.
This guy's been the greatest teammate ever. All right, sacrificed so much for his team. He's always done that, financially, everything. And yet this, not showing up. When I heard he never showed up to a practice in a meeting during the season,
yeah.
There's no way. Like, are you kidding me? And then for him to sit out, and I get it. He's trying to get the most out of his teammates. But look in the mirror, Tom. Like, this is – are you all in or are you not?
What do you think, Mike?
I think it's totally fair. And, you know, I would defer to Key and Jay Will, like, from being in the locker room, like, when you are barking at your teammates and you're expecting a lot out of them, it starts with yourself. And, you know, Tom Brady's made a career being the first one in, the last to leave, sacrificing what he's put in his body. He was really beyond reproach. But when you're not there on a Friday night and a Saturday, like, look, there's nothing Tom Brady's going to learn in that walkthrough that he doesn't know backwards and forwards. But the optics are awful. When I'm saying, hey, I need you and you to sacrifice and, you know, not go out certain nights of the week and be careful what you put in the body, and I'm going to give you the same commitment back, and you're, you know, not traveling with the team. It's not, to me, it wasn't about the game plan. Clearly he knows the game plan, but the perception isn't what
– Perception with his teammates, you
correct.
Mean.
Yeah, and that's where I think I totally agree with Rex.
Yeah, see, the optics are one thing. Mike said it, and I said it already, y'all. He created the damn game plan, so he knows it. I don't have a problem in his last year, let's assume, that he's going to his owner's wedding. I don't have a problem with that at all as a teammate. It's fine. It's Tom Brady. Great. But one thing you better do is when we come to play on Sunday, you better come to play. Because if you don't come to play, don't be looking at me sideways when you're throwing the ball and dribbling the ball at my feet. Because I'm going to take issue with that. Okay? It's great that you went to 10 Super Bowls and you won 7. Ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm talking about Sunday.
Don't let it go viral on social media where you're yelling at me in front of everybody.
Yeah, because, see, if it was me, I'd have said if your ass was here on Friday and Saturday, you wouldn't be needing to yell.
But see, Mike, this stuff we talk about in the locker room, and as players, we always pay attention to stuff that's happening. This is the first time that I've noticed that Tom Brady's laundry has been aired out, right? It's been aired out to the public a little bit about what's going on in his personal life. So I sometimes feel like as a former player, you're like, oh, I know this dude's dealing with it in a lot of other ways, and maybe the game's not going right. Now he's going to try to disrespect me. Like, I'm like, Key, it's the first thing I said the other day. You're not going to disrespect me in public, man, especially while I know you're going through other things.
So another topic we've been into this morning already, Mike, is that great offensive performance we saw last night in prime time with all the touchdowns.
Russ cooking.
But let's focus on Russell Wilson. We had Mark Schlereth on the show earlier in the season.
Spring.
And he was talking about, he's watching Denver very closely. He's like, I don't think, and Key's whole thing is, they're not a Russell Wilson away from a Super Bowl. Schlereth said, they're not an Aaron Rodgers away from a Super Bowl. So Key's thesis here is that the issue in Denver is they weren't as good. They didn't have the pieces on offense that they thought they had, right? Where are you on Russell Wilson and Denver?
A couple of things come to mind. One is their offensive line. And look, everyone's dealing with injuries, but they lost a pretty good left tackle in Garrett Bowles. Russell Wilson, to me, lacks confidence, which is shocking for somebody that's been in the league, made his money, won a Super Bowl, big trade. But he doesn't look like he's trying to rip the ball. He has to see the receiver open instead of anticipating it. And I think Nathaniel Hackett really is the guy that's slowing things down, because last night was a little bit better, but even when they're breaking the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, the whole offense looks out of sorts. The Melvin Gordon situation, to me, is really strange. They benched him inexplicably. Maybe it's ball security. I think losing Javonte Williams is really significant. So I think the head coach is learning on the fly. He was in a play caller in Green Bay. I think that's really apparent. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I gotta lead the troops here. And right now, I think he's really struggling, and it's surprising to watch.
Why would you hire him if you know he wasn't the play caller in Green Bay? Why would you ever hire him to be the play caller, and you're going to pay all this money to a quarterback? And we know that he had some experience in Jacksonville 100 years ago, but he wasn't the main play caller in Green Bay. But we hired him to be the main play caller. On top of that, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, the Denver Broncos led the league in rushing last year. Am I correct? They rushed for about 1,900 yards or somewhere in there. And I understand when you look at Melvin Gordon and the other running back,
Javonte Williams
isn't there. But when you come in a new system, you want to implement your scheme, whether it's zone scheme, whether it's tosses, whatever it is that you want, power O's, whatever it is, can't you go back and look at the film from a year ago and say, okay, this is what this offensive line and running backs did well from a running standpoint, and continue to do those things and implement some stuff that you like in a game plan? And knowing that I got Russell Wilson, I don't need him throwing the ball 30 times a goddamn on game.
Key, great example of that is Philadelphia. They kept their offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, and Nick Sirianni is like, look, this is what's working. I'll give you another example of it. Like
Stoutland, I mean, that offensive line's been performing the whole time, to Key's point. You identify the person who's responsible for the production, right?
Absolutely. I'll give another great example. It's Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was reared under the Herman Edwards, Tony Dungy, Tampa 2 zone defense. Becomes the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have this defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
The exact opposite.
Kept it going.
And Mike Tomlin's like, let's keep it going.
Keep it going.
That's why Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to take his pieces and say, what do we do best? And Key, I think it's a very fair point to say, like, we have Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. What's going to give us the best chance to win this year?
Yes. Well, don't you think they went with Nathaniel Hackett because they were trying to get Aaron Rodgers locked in? And Aaron Rodgers backed it. So they got caught by saying, now we're stuck. And they decided to go with Russell Wilson.
It's certainly feels that way,
yeah,
or seems
sure
that way, that Aaron Rodgers got the dude hired and then duped the Broncos.
1,000,000%.
It feels that way. Yeah. Maybe that wasn't really the case. I don't know.
But let's say that's the case, guys. Like, if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I'm going to come in with the most experienced coaching staff of
all
time.
Absolutely.
I'm bringing in former head coaches on both sides of the ball just to help me, because it just looks like the whole operation is a little bit off. And a key play in the game, by the way, was a special teams play. Like, the Chargers legally were able to block.
Blocked into their own
player. And
Yeah.
And that's
that caused the fumble and the muff punt,
I look at it, and then where's Jerry Jeudy? And where's Courtland Sutton?
Oh, they're on the sideline complaining and yelling at Russell Wilson.
When you are explosive like Jerry Jeudy, you got to figure out how to get him the football, even though he runs like a duck. And then you talk about Courtland Sutton, who's 6'4", some change, 200-plus pounds. He's playing big man ball, but they never utilize him. You talk about the problems in the red zone. We never had those problems in the red zone when I was with Mike and them. Because the first thing we do, we're going to go 90 fade. We ain't even – 90 fade, man. Let's go.
But see, Key, to me –
What's 90 fade, Key?
Just a fade route. It's just fade 90 route, protection.
I knew that, Max.
I want – I just – in case people – I've already teed Key up on this behind the scenes.
Knew that.
I've teed him up. I want you guys explaining these things for the audience.
We would know – based on, we would already go into a game plan already knowing I'm the biggest dude on the field.
Right.
We ain't going to do nothing but throw a jump ball. We're going to throw a fade in the back corner of the end zone.
Explain to Jay what a 90 fade is.
That goes back to your point about sometimes smaller QBs, because I knew going into the game last night that both O-lines were depleted, but I felt like I saw Justin Herbert utilize his size and his strength to make plays dealing with the pressure, where Russell seems to really struggle with that this year.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the other thing that Justin Herbert doesn't get credit for is his athleticism. You know, the last play they ran on offense, they get blitzed. He runs to his left.
Buys
enough time, makes a 9-yard completion with a kicker that's hurt. That was a huge play.
Hey, let me ask you this. Did you have a problem at all, 4th-and-1, on their, I think it was plus 20, plus 25-yard line, 4th-and-1, beginning of the fourth quarter, instead of taking the three, they went for it and threw a pass. Brandon Staley did. Did you have a problem with that, Mike? Because I certainly did.
Yeah.
The three is what I felt.
Yeah, the only question I would have is, like, where was the kicker at that point in time?
The kicker was, I think he was hurt, but he still was kicking field goals. He was hurt, but he's still kicking field goals. And on top of that, he threw the damn ball when Austin Eckler was getting 5 yards a pop.
Right. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Now, look, if you're the head coach, though, like, these kickers, though, they got to drive you crazy. He kicks a field goal, then it looks like he's getting shot. You know, like every time he's on the guy,
he's laying on his back. Hamstring was hurting.
little quad strain. You know.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. So, Carolina trades Robbie Anderson to Arizona.
Disgruntled Robbie Anderson.
Does that indicate to you a fire sale? Like, is Christian McCaffrey next out the door?
100%, but that started when they let Matt Rhule go. I mean, they're in a clear rebuild. Carolina's going to have a top five pick. They're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to go after, presumably, someone like a Sean Payton type. And absolutely, and Christian McCaffrey to the Bills, let's say.
What do you get for him? What do you get for Christian McCaffrey if you're the Panthers?
A second-round pick.
If Christian McCaffrey's on the Bills, I'm taking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. That does it. That's like a big piece to add to that.
If you're the
team.
Bills guys,
all in.
Right. If you're the Bills and you look at what the Rams did last year, OBJ, Von Miller, don't you have to run the same play and say,
yes,
I want to get the best players I could possibly get to win right now?
That's what they're missing, a dynamic dual threat running back.
And they have running back Singletary and company, but they're so small. But Christian McCaffrey brings that dynamic kind of play style that you can play off of for Josh Allen. It's perfect.
That's
got really hyped.
Josh He's Allen, really Christian McCaffrey is a problem. I mean, listen. Sam Darnold looked good with Christian McCaffrey. You know what Josh Allen would look like? All right, that
Baker
Mike Tannenbaum.
Baker Mayfield had Christian McCaffrey too. Huh?
49ers can use him.
ESPN NFL front office insider. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Have the Broncos bought in to Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett? Or is the team just not buying? And if not, what does that mean? We're about to get into it. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.